May it please the court. These two appeals raise the same primary issue, and that's whether a prior Wisconsin burglary conviction counts as burglary of a dwelling. That would make it a crime of violence under the sentencing guidelines. And that essentially turns on whether the statutory subsection at issue here is divisible, because that subsection criminalizes burglary of any building or dwelling. And the key to this issue is to focus on the real goal here, and that's to determine what was the defendant convicted of. That is why we have the categorical analysis in the first place, because the guidelines require us to look at the prior conviction. And that's why divisibility matters. It's why we only go to the underlying documents when a statute is divisible, because we want to determine which...
But isn't it clear it was burglary of a home?
Well, whether the facts of the case were burglary of a home, certainly it was alleged in the information in both of these cases. But the ultimate conviction was broader than that. The conviction was for burglary of any building or dwelling. And that's because we have to look at the elements of the offense.
Well, that's what the statute says.
Correct, Your Honor. But that's also...
But the federal interest is in whether it was a home rather than a warehouse.
That's correct. But it's whether the crime is burglary of a home versus burglary of a warehouse. It's not what the defendant did. I mean, in DeCamps, it was pretty clear that the defendant...
I don't understand you. If he robbed a... If he burglarized a home, then he committed what in federal law is a violent crime.
If the crime
is... Don't we know from the initial filings in the, you know, the ones we're permitted to look at in the state case that it was a home that he burglarized?
Well, that's the question in this case, is whether we even look at those documents.
Well, I thought we're allowed to look not at the evidence, not at the mm-hmm. trial, but at the charging documents.
We can look at the charging documents to determine the crime of conviction. But in DeCamps, the Supreme Court repeatedly said that what defines the crime of conviction are only the elements of the offense. They cited to the Richardson case, the Supreme Court case on jury unanimity, talking about the critical nature of an element versus simple facts of the case. Because any criminal complaint or information in Wisconsin, I assume in other states, is going to give the factual basis for the prosecution's allegations. So that's the prosecution's theory of the case. But the question is, what is the crime? And the crime can only be defined by the elements. And here... whether the particular place that was burglarized was a dwelling was not an element of the offense. It's not something that a jury would have to be unanimous about. It's not something that the defendant would have to admit at a plea hearing. It's not something that the court would have to make a finding of at the end of a trial or a plea hearing or anything before they enter a judgment of conviction. And that's because the crime is broader than that. You know, it's a single... subsection.
Were they pleas or juries?
These were both plea cases, Your Honor.
Both what?
These were both plea cases. So we have two different defendants, Mr. Poliet and Mr. Edwards, and they both entered pleas.
They pleaded something.
That's correct.
Now, sometimes with the plea, of course, you work your way down a little bit.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Meaning that somebody pleads in order to get maybe a lesser included offense or something. Now that wasn't... I don't know what the charging documents might differ than what the plea itself, what they pleaded to.
Right. Now here, Your Honor, they were charged with burglary of a building or dwelling under 943.10.1.M.A. Again, the allegations of the complaint, the prosecutor alleged that at a particular time, in a particular place, in that place alleged in the information was a dwelling, they committed this crime. But again, it's not an essential element of that crime. And what they were convicted of at the end of the plea hearing is burglary of a building or dwelling. That's also the crime that appears on the judgment of conviction. It's certainly possible in a complaint, and you know it's come up in some of the cases that we cited in the briefing, you know, the prosecutor could be even more creative. So, you know, they charge someone with burglary of a building or dwelling, to wit, a cabin, to wit, a garage. And that just sort of demonstrates that the essential element of the crime is the burglary of a dwelling, which makes it fall under the subsection of 1MA, versus the other subsections that do talk about distinct places that can be burglarized, like ship or vessel, or truck or trailer. Those are certainly distinct, but building or dwelling...
Those aren't distinct elements. The burglary statute in Wisconsin is describes the crime of burglary and sets forth alternative means of committing it, including intentionally entering any one of a number of listed places. And the fact that burglary or dwelling is in one subsection, and the railroad car and the boat and the ship or vessel and all of the other enclosures are in other separate subsections, doesn't make the separate subsections separate elements. They're just different ways of committing the offense of burglary.
I guess since that's
I mean,
not
they could
critical
be listed.
To
take
the
out
issue
the,
here.
Take out the alphabetical subsections. Just put it all in one big paragraph, mm-hmm. the way federal statutes are arranged, mm-hmm. irritatingly. And, you know, we've got one burglary offense and a whole bunch of different ways of committing burglary. And well, the elements are intentionally entering one of those enclosed places without consent with intent to commit a crime.
Well, if that's true,
I mean, those
Your
are
Honor,
those
if,
are the elements. If, and if when we instruct juries in Wisconsin, you know, we plug in what the specific enclosure is, but it's just a single crime, right?
It
Why
is
do you
just
think
a
the statute
crime,
says burglary or dwelling or burglary, rather than building?
I think it just has to do with the history of the statute, Your Honor. It there used to be, of course, common law burglary. And then there was a higher form of burglary for burglary of a dwelling, and then a separate crime for burglary of other buildings. Back when that was true, there were cases talking about, okay, what's a dwelling versus a building? But since I think the 50s or so, around the time that a lot of states changed their burglary statutes, they put them together, they kept those terms.
Why did they keep those terms?
Presumably because they were combining these two... because they're combining these two statutes, but it's really not clear.
No,
there isn't
all they have to say is burglary of a building.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Everyone knows that burglary of a home is a more serious crime than burglary of a warehouse.
As a factual matter, that would generally be true. But again, in Wisconsin, these aren't treated. Burglary of a dwelling is not a more serious crime than
I
burglary
know,
of a building.
I know, but we're talking about federal law, and federal law regards burglary as a more serious crime, or specifically as a crime of violence. And how can the federal statute be the sentences on be administered if the federal court isn't able to learn whether it was a burglary or convict or a home, or has to pretend there's no difference?
I would never suggest that a federal sentencing judge shouldn't be considering the facts of the underlying case. And I think that's going to be relevant in every sentencing. Both, you know, was the burglary of a home, was it a burglary of some other building? Was there a gun involved? I mean, it could be that it was a burglary of a non-home that's much more serious.
Yeah, but you have a federal statute which has sentencing significance because it talks about various different crimes, and the Supreme Court has held that burglary is a crime of violence when it's committed against a home, but not when it's committed against another building.
Well,
so the question is, if the person is in Wisconsin, is convicted of burglary, and it happens to be burglary of a home, that has significance for his federal liability.
It would have significance in discussing sentencing. What I'm saying it doesn't have significance in under the Wisconsin statute is simply in defining the crime of violence under the 4B1.2.
Look, you say it can play a role in federal sentencing. Well, that's what the violent crimes provision in federal law is. It defines certain crimes as one which, being crimes of violence, get a heavier sentence. So that means for federal purposes, it's important to determine whether it's a burglary of a home or burglary of another kind of building. And the complication is that the federal courts are not permitted to look at the actual record to see what kind of burglary it was. But it can look at the preliminary documents, indictments, things like that.
Well, the question under the guidelines, just like the question under the Armed Career Criminal Act, is the crime of conviction. It's not what the defendant did. So the question isn't, did the defendant burglarize a home? It's, was he convicted of a crime that's defined as burglary of a home? And the only way that you can find that, according to the Supreme Court in DeCamps, is looking to the element of the elements of the offense.
And again, right, if we read DeCamps for everything that it's worth, and find in your favor, then every state that does not have a separate crime of residential burglary, anybody who's convicted of what is in fact a residential burglary, that conviction doesn't count for purposes of the guidelines, because the state doesn't define the crime that way.
That's true, and that's happening,
and
Your
that
Honor.
Seems in tension with that mysterious footnote 2 of Justice Kagan's opinion, which is fairly inscrutable, but if you'd like to offer up a way to reconcile it with the text of the opinion, I'm all ears.
Sure. Well, let me first just say there are plenty of states that don't separate out burglary of a dwelling, and those cases don't elevate the guidelines for those. And there are states even where they say, well, dwelling includes a detached garage, that's too broad, so they don't include it as a crime of violence. Again, if it's serious, the judge can think about it at sentencing. Footnote 2 is a bit inscrutable, but what it doesn't do is say it doesn't matter whether something is an element or means. That's sort of what the government's arguing here.
What are the documents that the court is permitted to look at?
The judgment of conviction and the statute of conviction. And then where the statute is divisible, then the court may turn to the Shepherd documents to determine which crime the defendant was convicted of.
Well, isn't that what the court did here?
No, Your Honor, because the statute is not divisible, because it doesn't lay out two separate elements that a jury would need to find in a trial.
I don't understand. Why aren't they separate elements? Why aren't they separate crimes?
Well, they're not separate
they're
crimes.
In one sentence.
No, it's based on, there's in the federal court, there's Richardson and Shad. In state court, there are similar cases laying out how you determine whether something is an element, how you determine whether jurors need to be unanimous.
So how do you do that?
Well, the court looks at, the text of the statute.
The text of the statute has these two different forms of burglary in it.
Correct, Your Honor.
So why aren't those two different crimes?
Because Wisconsin doesn't define them as two different crimes.
What do you mean define them as two? They have to have a separate section of the statute which says there are two separate crimes?
No, the question is whether the jury would need to be unanimous on that. And if this court has any question on that issue, if you agree with the federal law proposition, that's something that you can certify to the state court. And it's something that for any crime, if there's a tricky unanimity question, a tricky question of whether something is an element or means, that can go to the state Supreme
Court. This one isn't tricky.
I don't think it's tricky either.
There's case law in Wisconsin that adopts the federal methodology of double jeopardy, multiplicity analysis for evaluating whether the statute defines a single crime with multiple means of commission or more than one crime. So
I agree, Your Honor. This isn't a tricky crime. And I think under the terms of DeCamps, these are not separate elements, and therefore the statute is not divisible, and therefore both defendants here were convicted of overbroad statutes, and so the cases should be remanded for that.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Pipe. Mr. Burke?
Thank you. May it please the Court, Kevin Burke on behalf of the United States. The district court judges in these two cases correctly looked at the judgment of conviction where it said burglary of a building or dwelling, and then looked to the charging documents to see which it was.
The statute doesn't create more than one crime, does it?
It does, Your Honor, in that it could be burglary of a building, which is one type of enclosure that can be burglarized, or burglary of a dwelling, which is a different kind.
So the state could have charged Mr. Edwards with two crimes for this single act of unlawful entry into the apartment.
Well, that likely would have violated double jeopardy to have
right,
done
so
that.
It's one crime. It's not two crimes. If it's two crimes, then there's no multiplicity double jeopardy violation if that's what the legislature intended, right? That's the federal analysis.
Yes.
And it doesn't implicate the Shad due process principles, right?
Correct.
But so this is the single crime.
Well,
your
point earlier, Your Honor, was that if it were like a federal statute, you would have just thrown all these different enclosures that can be burgled together. Wisconsin parses it out in different subsections. That's really of no consequence. It's very similar to Shepard, where Shepard says building, ship, vessel, or vehicle.
Right. It's indistinguishable from Shepard, but that's not how DeCamps read Shepard. DeCamps went on and on at great length about how it's an elements-based focus. And if we don't have alternative elements, we don't have a divisible statute. Well, which, you know, the body of the opinion is arguably in tension with footnote 2, and this case is Justice Alito's worst nightmare.
And I don't want to read too much into your question, Your Honor, but it almost seems as if you're suggesting that DeCamps effectively could overrule Shepard, which Supreme Court was quite clear it was not
right.
Doing.
I mean, it put a new take on it.
If we go back to what DeCamps is really addressing, DeCamps was addressing a statute where the element was actually missing, unlawful entry.
Right.
Wisconsin is not missing an element.
Right. So all of that stuff that DeCamps said about elements is dicta?
No, not dicta.
But you have to have alternate elements in describing what it means to have a divisible statute. We can just ignore all of that.
There's undoubtedly a tension between footnote 2 and the main body that different courts have identified. Otherwise, we wouldn't have the circuit split. So what Justice Alito was presciently addressing was concern that the main body of DeCamps might engender some confusion. And what footnote really 2 really is a conversation that the majority was having to address Justice Alito's concern, saying, well, if we break it down into means versus elements distinctions, that necessarily often will require parsing of state law. This is not at all what the main decision is doing and was addressing Justice Alito's concerns. That whether you call it means, whether you call it elements, it's really of no consequence. If you have an ambiguity, you're going to look to the charging document, and the ambiguity will be resolved.
Well, to find out the elements.
To find out the elements.
And that's mystifying to me, because charging documents don't define crimes. Statutes define crimes. And so we don't look to charging documents and plea colloquies and all the other Shepard documents to determine how the state defines the crime. We look to the statute. So it's an inadequate response to Justice Alito's dissent, and it's one that completely obfuscates the analysis. You got to come up with some way to reconcile it.
Well, footnote 2 seems to mean what it says. Whether you call this means or call it elements, it seems to be of no consequence. You want
it's
to see what the person
no
was charged
if
with.
You accept everything that is said in the majority opinion, in the text of the majority opinion, then means versus elements cannot be of no consequence. It is centrally consequential, because that's the distinction between crime definitions, meaning whether there's more than one crime in the statute, or whether it's a single crime with multiple modes of commission.
Well, if we look at the Wisconsin statute, where it says, as a title, as a mere title, burglary of a building or dwelling.
It doesn't say that. It says burglary.
The judgment
says, whomever intentionally enters into any of the following places without the consent of the person in lawful possession and with intent to conceal or to steal or commit a felony is guilty. And then it provides a laundry list of enclosures.
Yes, it does.
It defines a single crime of burglary.
And it sounds...
The jury does not have to be unanimous. The jury does not have to be unanimous on the nature of the enclosure.
Well, and you presided over one of the cases cited, which is Hammer. The central issue was not that particular element, but I understand your expertise in this area. But when we're looking at the parsing state law, which is in the Rendon dissent to the denial of rehearing en banc, notoriously uncertain inquiry. But if you look at cases such as Gonzalez, which say you adapt your jury instructions to fit the facts of the case, if you look to the jury instruction, pattern jury instruction committee's own guidance on what you do, they divorce each element. They, for instance, their model jury instruction says building, showing that building and dwelling can be separated from one another. What goes to the jury is the actual enclosure. What goes to the jury is the element, and what goes to the jury must be found beyond a reasonable doubt, whether it's enclosed railroad car, whether it's dwelling, whether it's building. So I defer to your expertise, Your Honor, but it sure seems looking at that at the pattern jury instruction guidance, the enclosure is an element.
Well, the fact that judges are encouraged to tailor the jury instruction to the facts of the case in order not to confuse the jury doesn't answer the question about whether this is a single crime with multiple means or whether there's more than one crime codified in the burglary statute such that two counts could be charged for a single breaking and entering.
Understood.
And if you concede that only one count could be charged for a single breaking and entering of a dwelling, it could not be charged as a burglary of a building and a burglary of the dwelling, then you have to concede that it's a single crime, not two crimes.
Well, Your Honor,
and
our primary...
That gets you into trouble under DeCamps.
Well, our primary argument would be that it is an element, but a secondary argument is if the court were to address it as a means, those other cases that this court has decided post-Shepard, but pre-DeCamps, would still be good law because DeCamps did not overrule Shepard. They had every opportunity to, and they didn't. And cases such as Woods, DeSmuke, make it very clear whether you call it a means or call it an element is of no consequence.
Right, but DeCamps has thrown all of that into doubt.
It has for two circuits. When you have to resort to a means analysis, the government does not believe you have to resort to a means analysis, but if the court
were
to...
Well, how else do you determine what the elements of the offense are? What other analysis do you use, if not to distinguish, as the double jeopardy case law does, between elements and means?
Was the jury asked whether it was a dwelling or a building?
Well, these were resolved by plea. The charging language itself, while captioned building or dwelling, only charged entry of a dwelling. Therefore, all that would have gone to the jury, had this gone to trial, would have been dwelling. The jury...
I'm sorry, this is the indictment or the information?
The information, yes, Your Honor.
The information says unauthorized entry of a dwelling. Is that how it is?
Yes, and that's all it says in the charging language itself.
And this is a jury trial. Would there be an instruction that would be more specific?
The instruction would be as to dwelling, what form the definition might take, whether they would leave it to the juror's common sense or resort to a dictionary to say, well, it's an enclosure intended for human habitation, would probably depend on what the parties and the judge decided upon because it's not further defined by statute.
Well, of course, that's what I ask. Neither of these were jury trials. These are both pleas.
That's correct.
But
right,
if they were jury trials, that's all my question is, because then it would be able to look at the instruction as one of the extraneous, whatever you want to call it, modified categorical.
Yes, you would have, Your Honor.
And then I assume then it would be specific that this is that you had to find that he entered a dwelling?
Yes, that's...
Would burglarize a dwelling?
Had this gone to jury, had this gone to jury trial, all that was alleged was dwelling. And if you look at the guidance from the pattern jury instruction committee, and if you look at cases like the Wisconsin case of Gonzalez, that is what the jury would have
building
had
or dwelling
to have
been. Is one category. The jury would not have to decide between building or dwelling. That's the sub A version of the offense, the sub A mode of commission or means.
Well,
of commission.
Mr. Burke is saying they wouldn't be told about a building; they'd just be told about a dwelling.
There seems
they wouldn't
to be
have
absolute...
anything else to think about.
And Judge, like you presided over these trials, of course, but the case law seems to be pretty clear. The pattern jury instruction.
The jury would not be required to agree that it was a dwelling. All the jury needs to have to agree on is that it's a building or dwelling. The facts of the case are that it was a dwelling, so it really doesn't matter. It all comes out in the wash. But they don't have to make that judgment.
And if that is how you find, Your Honor, then it should be a reversion to a means analysis.
I'm asking you why that's wrong under the text of the statute. It's not an element of the offense that the jury has to be unanimous on whether it was a building or a dwelling.
If it's not,
dwelling is subsumed within building.
Well, no, not subsumed within building. There are certainly dwellings that are not buildings.
Factually, yes, but it has no legal consequence for purposes of the sub A offense. It's all burglary.
Then it's a reversion to a means analysis, which is still permissible under Shepard, under this court's decisions in Woods, which is
permissible under Shepard and under our decisions. Is
yes.
It permissible under DeCamps?
Yes, it is, because DeCamps meant to overrule Shepard, it certainly could have. And the fact that there's
so we should
tension,
disregard all that DeCamps said about elements.
I don't believe that it's it's disregarding.
It said the only way you have a divisible statute is if there's alternative elements on the face of the statute.
And then
footnote 2, it said, oh, by the way, you can also look at charging documents to see what the elements are. That's not how sovereign states define their crimes.
And you're asking me to explain why the Supreme Court drafted it the way it did. But they specifically were addressing Justice Alito's concerns, a very relevant conversation that they were having with that very important footnote, because it's partly why we're here. And
that's entirely why we're here.
And they're saying you need not have any real world concern, whether you call it elements or call it means. And Shepard's not been overruled. You should not overrule your decision in Woods. If you apply Woods, this case is easy to decide. And I see I'm out of time. If there are any other questions?
Okay,
thank you,
Mr. Burke. So Ms. Fyfe, do you have anything further?
If the court will allow me a bit of rebuttal, I think I might have
some. Yeah, you can have a minute.
Thank you. You can't read DeCamps as only footnote 2, but I do want to point out that footnote 2 specifically says that Shepard rested on the explicit premise that the law considered there laid out separate elements of different crimes, not means of committing the offense.
Yeah, and
if
that's
anything,
just wrong.
Well,
right? That's just flat out wrong.
But if anything, it emphasizes that the holding of DeCamps is about elements. And I just want to take issue with two other quick things that that the government has added, and that is, again, the charging language here does not only say dwelling. I mean, the charging language is clear that both defendants were charged with burglary of a building or dwelling. The prosecution, the theory was that it was a dwelling.
Well, it wasn't the theory. That was the only fact.
Sure, it was
the
fact.
Case.
Exactly.
There wasn't an alternative theory.
And when the government talks about means, what they're talking about is facts. And in Edwards' plea hearing, which is the only one on the record, the judge never even uses the word dwelling in reference to the crime. He only talks about
the defendant admitted to the probable cause, the factual basis, didn't he? Used the complaint as the probable cause?
I'm not sure if he did personally. I know usually the lawyers do in Wisconsin. So
what sentence did he get?
I believe it was probation, but I could be confusing it with Poliak, but I think they both got probation in these cases. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you, Ms. Fine. And you're a defender, right? So we thank your efforts on behalf of the defendant, and certainly thank Mr. Burke as well. And the court will be in recess. So.
Thank you.